heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation. And now, Malcolm.
So the problem isn't what the president said, it's how they're translating what he said, as always. And it's always the media drip, drip, drip. And this is what it's going to be between now and November 3rd, and of course, far after that as well. And that's really the saddest part of this whole story, which the next one now, peaceful transfer of power. Like all of a sudden, this president now isn't going to accept the peaceful transfer of power. Like he would be the first in our history to do such a thing. I mean, does anybody really believe that? And did the president really say that? I mean, you know, you listen to what he said and what's being reported, they're two entirely different things. But that's what happens is the media, they push. It's like being in a schoolyard, one kid jumping on the other kid and they all start piling on. It's a pile on. That's exactly what it is. And so you're seeing that with the media now where they just pile on the president. Well, Mr. President, you said this, said that. So it's important we get this in the right context to understand. Because the other underlying point to this, you have to remember, they have been pushing this concept, this idea, this narrative out there that the president is a third world dictator of some sort. This has been, you know, that's been a constant drumbeat from the left and way back from the very beginning. Let's listen to this audio of exactly what the president said. So we do this together.
Win, lose, or draw in this election, will you commit here today for a peaceful transferal of power after the election? And there has been rioting in Louisville. There's been rioting in many cities across this country, red and your so-called red and blue states. Will you commit to making sure that there is a peaceful transferal of power after the election?
Well, we're going to have to see what happens. You know that I've been complaining very strongly about the ballots, and the ballots are a disaster.
I understand that, but people are rioting. Do you commit to making sure that there's a peaceful transferal of power?
We want to get rid of the ballots, and we'll have a very peaceful. There won't be a transfer, frankly. There'll be a continuation. The ballots are out of control. You know it. And you know who knows it better than anybody else? The Democrats know it better than anybody else. Go ahead.
So when the reporter puts it out there, win, lose, or draw, you almost have to laugh at what does he mean by draw? I mean, we can't have a tie here. We're not going to have a co-presidency. But, you know, I digress, right? Win, lose, or draw. So the president responds back. This is not the first time this has happened, by the way. And I'll point out a couple of other instances of this before. But this is as closer and closer we get to the election in November. I firmly believe the more and more of this you're going to see, more of the insanity. And, you know, right now, this is beyond the strangest campaign we've ever seen or the oddest moment in a presidential campaign. It's like there's only really one candidate out there that we're seeing. We don't hear anything from the other camp. They still have him pretty well locked down. You got to just chuckle and see what's going to happen when this supposed first debate happens. We're all curious to see what happens there. Let's just see in the next many days if we start hearing this, you know, he's not feeling well, he's sick or something else. I don't know what it's going to be, or maybe he's got a hot date somewhere, but, you know, certainly they're going to have to do something. And if not, if the debate does come off, that's going to be the first time we see supposedly the presidential candidate, Joe Biden, you know, in a non-scripted environment. He's not going to be able to have something in his ear, not going to be able to have a teleprompter there. So it should be a moment of truth. We should be able to see something there if that all plays out the way it is, right? Everything is kind of hurling toward that now, you know. And so when he says, you know, the peaceful transfer of power, win, lose, or draw, and these are these kinds of questions, these are these bombs the reporters like to show because they know the president doesn't back down, number one. They know the president is going to keep coming at them. And, you know, he's just not one to say, yeah, no problem. We'll just, you know, whatever. you have to remember over here, you have this entire election scandal problem that we've been talking about with the universal mail-in voting, which is what the president is referring to, versus, again, absentee voting. But the president here answers back with this. I mean, he says, you know, the ballots are out of control. Just get rid of the ballots and you'll have a very, and then he rethought it at that moment. You know, yeah, you'll have a very peaceful, oh, well, and then he caught himself. There won't be a transfer, frankly. There will be a continuation. Well, that's just, you know, positive reinforcements there. The president, you have to believe in your own campaign. If you don't, who is going to, right? I wonder for a moment if Joe Biden actually believes he's going to win, if he's even thinking logically or has a thought. Does he think that to himself, right? And so the president says, well, he was going to say, yeah, there'll be a peaceful transfer of power. Don't worry about it. But then he stopped himself and said, you'll have a very peaceful, he's going to say about the ballots, but there won't be a transfer. Frankly, there'll be a continuation. Just simply means he's going to be reelected. That's all that means. And the campaign manager came out afterward and clarified that as well. Said the ballots are out of control. We'll get back to that in a moment here. I want to just stay on this narrative a moment now here. The president says, well, we'll have to see what happens. You know that. I've been complaining very strongly about the ballots. And the ballots are a disaster. Now, we all know that there's a lot of room for error in this thing. You can see the both sides' position. And let's just put this all into right context a moment and understand a couple of things here. The president raised the same point, if you remember, back in the 2016 campaign. You recall that? Said the same thing. They asked him the same questions. And it was, you know, Hillary Clinton who never let go of the fact that she lost. She continues to beat that drum to this very day, in fact. You know, she has more excuses and more reasons on why she lost the election than any candidate combined in the history of our nation. I mean, she continues to put them out there every stop or every moment she opens her mouth. She has another reason as to why she lost that campaign. She obviously will never get over it, right upon her last breath, right? So Trump made it very clear, 2015, 2016, that he wasn't going to just lie down on this thing. He wasn't going to accept, you know, if there's fraudulent activity or something's wrong. But that's not the answer the media was looking for then. He also interestingly said right here in middle of the year, I think it was about July or so, if I recall, there was an interview he had. You might remember it with Chris Wallace. Of course, I seen it on video because I don't watch Chris Wallace. But I remember seeing this whole clip on it. I think it was about July. It was summertime somewhere in there. I'm sure of that. And you can look it up and see yourself. But and Wallace asked them the same kind of question. They all ask it. You know, they all ask, you know, about this transfer of power. And are you going to, you know, give the seat up? They're afraid he's going to stay there and fight for it or something. And he said to Wallace, he said, and I quote here, he said, I have to see. Look, I have to see. Is what he said at this in this Fox News Sunday deal there. He said, no, I'm not going to just say yes. And I remember this. He said, I'm not going to say no. And I didn't last time either. But it's not a new thing. I mean, he has repeatedly said the same thing, which in essence is that, sure, he's going to honor, I am certain, our American traditions, but he's not going to lie down on this thing if there is fraudulent activity. And he obviously, as millions of Americans are very, very concerned to have a legitimate election. And there are a lot of factions that are coming around this thing now. We're seeing a lot of things, including international players, other cyber type things. We'll talk about some of that here in a moment too. But a lot of these are factoring in that, you know, remember our enemies and our allies for that matter, you know, are all watching this. With certainly an open eye. And they're curious to see how we're going to pull this off because they see the brawl happening in broad daylight now. They see that we're at each other's throats and they're just wondering, is this the moment? Is this the moment that it all comes down like a house of cards, right? Is this it right here? And they're all wondering that. And again, we're doing it to ourselves. That's what's happening here. As I say all the time to you, it's an inside job, isn't it? It's always an inside job. You know, the media jumped on this like flies on you know what. I mean, they jumped all over this one here. And here are some of these headlines that really ripped me up, okay? I mean, I just played what he said. He never said he wasn't going to. He never said that. Never made any reference. I mean, he just put it right out there, and he said, you know, he talked about the ballots, and we heard his words just now, you know, get rid of the ballots. You'll have a very, very peaceful. And then he said there'll be a continuation because he plans on winning. He never said, no, I'm not going to transfer the power. Never said those words. Never refused, never said any of that. But he didn't go along with the reporter's gag. That's what happened. And that's, you know, typical Trump. That's the way he is. So the AP News, let's read some of these headlines. Yeah, this is what you see in the media all day long here today. The AP News, Trump won't commit to peaceful transfer of power if he loses. You see, every headline is worded in such a way that when people look at these, they think, oh, my God. And not only that, but then they think there's problems within the Republican Party and the people are fighting. And because, again, a lot of people don't necessarily follow it like maybe you do out there. A lot of Americans don't follow every drumbeat of politics. They only see the headlines. They only get the talking points on the television. You got to remember that now. Not everybody is as informed as some of you are out there. So NPR says, Republican leaders reject Trump hedging on transfer of power, right? Transfer of that peaceful power again, right? The Guardian, Trump refuses to commit to a peaceful transfer of power. Again, see the words they use. CNN, Trump won't commit. This one won't commit to a peaceful transfer of power if he loses, right? GOP downplays Trump's refusal to commit to peaceful transition. Trump refuses to commit to peaceful transition of power. Republicans break with Trump over peaceful transition of power. That was political, that one there. BBC, U.S. election, Trump won't commit to peaceful transfer of power. It's all around the world now, you see. Wall Street Journal, Republicans commit to peaceful transfer of power even after Trump won't. I mean, so you see now the headlines that are being played out there. The president didn't actually say any of what those headlines are, but that's what the media jumps on there immediately, and that is what they push out there. Let's remember back just a few weeks back here. Do you remember when Hillary Clinton was talking about that Biden shouldn't concede? Do you remember that moment? How many media outlets were on that story, do you think? And how were those headlines, right? Let's just listen to her words. This is again, a Democrat leader suggesting, giving advice to Biden on what he should or should not do. Here is Hillary Clinton.
So we've got to have a massive legal operation. I know the Biden campaign is working on that. We have to have poll workers, and I urge people who are able to be a poll worker. We have to have our own teams of people to counter the force of intimidation that the Republicans and Trump are going to put outside polling places. This is a big organizational challenge, but at least we know more about what they're going to do. And, you know, Joe Biden should not concede under any circumstances, because I think this is going to drag out. And eventually, I do believe he will win if we don't give an inch.
Well, you didn't see the same outrage in the media. You didn't see the outrage. And the one thing about her party, and this is something Democrats are really good at, they always unite on these things. You didn't see any Democrat leaders come out and cut her a new one and go after HC, did they? The Democrats always stick together. And the Republicans hardly ever do. They're always out there to teach. I'm going to teach them a lesson, or they try to recorrect the president. Because the president doesn't play the way they want to. He doesn't play what they consider, you know, nicety-nice presidential politics, they call it under that. But he doesn't play nicety-nice. He doesn't, and he certainly doesn't, you know, give these contrived answers back to the reporters. He just doesn't do it. Not going to do it. He doesn't fall in line Isn't that what it is? And most of these cats fall in line with what they're supposed to do or not do. Trump doesn't do that. So Hillary Clinton says there, Joe Biden should not concede under any circumstances because I think this is going to drag out. Now, she's already predicting it, as many others are, but she's already got it out here in full daylight. And eventually, I do believe he will win if we don't give an inch and if we are focused and relentless as the other side is. So Hillary puts it right out there. You didn't see the media flashback. That was come and gone and left, the whole concede. I mean, there were very few outlets who really focused on it. And those others who did, they were on and off of it immediately. It wasn't a big deal, in other words. And there were no big Democrats that spoke out or slapped Hillary around. Didn't happen. But on the other side, there are plenty of Republicans doing that right now. I mean, there's a whole litany of them, including Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. He says there will be an orderly transition, just as there has been every 4 years since 1792, he says. That's a tweet that McConnell put out there, you know. And of course, Liz Cheney, one never a one to lose a moment to grab the camera there. She said she rejected Trump's remarks as well. And she put out there in her tweet, the peaceful transfer of power is enshrined in our Constitution and fundamental to the survival of our republic. America's leaders swear an oath to the Constitution. We will uphold that oath. Of course, the president never said any of this, but right away, then, so instead of them supporting the president, you know, and say, well, the president didn't say that. Yet even high-ranking Republicans can't support what the president says. Yet, doesn't this just piss you off? You know, and of course, you know, the other one, Marco Rubio, always one to, you know, follow the PC crowd, you know, also pushing back, right? So he says, as we have done for over two centuries, we will have a legitimate and fair election. Nobody said we wasn't going to at that point. Certainly Trump didn't say that it was going to be on his watch. He just wants to make sure there is a legitimate and fair election. That's all he's saying. That's all he's saying. One of the more interesting ones, I thought, came from House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, who really has become quite the political player in Washington. You know, McCarthy, I'm going to suggest to you, he is one that out of many of them who I think really understands the power that Trump has with the American people. I think McCarthy gets it. You know, when I looked at him and studied him and how he responds to things, he's changed a lot since he was trying to get the speakership, remember back then when Paul Ryan ended up becoming the speakership. Remember that scandal, right? Well, Kevin's hoping still that he might be the speaker in the future, but he knows how to play. This is what you call a seasoned politician, you see? Hence why I suggest we need term limits for all of them, whether it's Republican or Democrat is not my issue. The fact that it's a politician is my issue, and we should take that into consideration across the board. So he goes ahead. He downplays the whole thing, basically, and probably appropriately so. He said he believes Trump will win re-election and that there will be a smooth transition to a second term. He tells her, well, that's a perfect answer. Nothing wrong with that. He said, I know this will keep you up at night, but don't worry about it. And of course, that was his truthful sarcasm to the reporters, right? That was his truthful sarcasm right there. So I thought McCarthy had a pretty decent response, actually. And again, I notice he's interesting. We'll see what happens ahead, but he's been playing politics in a very interesting way, McCarthy has. And again, I just, if you compare him in recent days and weeks and months of things he said, I just find him a little bit different than some of the other cast of characters, yeah, pretty much. So Mitt Romney comes out and never one to lose the moment to grab the mic and see who can how he can stir the pot. He says, fundamental to democracy is the peaceful transition of power, he says, right? Goes on to say, any suggestion that a president might not respect this constitutional guarantee is both unthinkable and unacceptable. Now, you know, I mean, Romney's not an ally, clearly. Now, Romney could have worded that a whole lot better any of these people could have pointed out or downplayed it or pointed out in support of the president, said the president never said those things. This is what the president said. He was really referring to a fair election. Any of them could have said that, but almost none of them did, with the exception of what I just shared with you with McCarthy. See, now, the official statement from the Trump campaign, they, you know, obviously quickly they pushed back on the criticism of the way the president answered it. And the spokesman said the premise of the question the president was asked assumed that he would lose, which he naturally disagrees with, meaning there will not be a change in administration. Okay, fair enough, fair enough. Now, that was their official answer back to the campaign itself. Now, I just think the position, it's rich, should not be lost on any of us compared to the concede comment, which was right in your face. The difference between what Hillary Clinton said and what Donald Trump said are two different things. And that, to me, is really where this argument sits, my fellow Americans. I mean, Hillary Clinton, there was no mixing her words. You could not mess that up. I mean, she said it in English. You just heard it. You heard her voice on the audio feed. And she says, she calls Biden out to say, Joe Biden should not concede under any circumstances. Listen to her words. And this is how a lot of Democrats are thinking right now. And this is really the point I want to make with you here. I mean, Joe Biden should not. Can you understand the words? Is there any confusion here? Any confusion at all, please. Just raise your hand. Let me know. Should not concede under any circumstances. Any circumstances. That means anything under the sun, people. That's what that means. Are you getting this now? So Joe Biden, it doesn't matter whether he has a major victory, landslide victory, wins in the Electoral College, wins in the popular vote, wins in every regard. Doesn't matter. Under any circumstances, Biden should not concede. Now, where were her people? Where was the media on this statement that a Democrat leader would say such a thing? I didn't hear anything other than the few little mentions. There was really nothing more about it. It was immediately dismissed, you know, like not a big deal. But you don't get that on the other side of this, do you? Everything that Trump has always said is put under a magnifying glass. But more than that, and I understand there are things you want to do that when it is the president. I get that. But it's the taken out of context that really rips me up. The fact that you take something and then you write your own narrative, which is what I just pointed out with those headlines moments ago that the media does so efficiently. And that's really the biggest problem we're having with all of these scandals and crises and news stories moment by moment, hour by hour. This is the biggest problem. It's the reporting and how this stuff is being reported and in what way, and that it's always out of context. And it worries me a great deal, the percentage of people who don't pay close attention to this stuff. Those independents and others who don't pay as attention as we wish they would. Although at this point of a campaign, I mean, there's one bit of solace here is that the closer you get to a major election campaign like this, the more that people do tend to tune in. So hopefully they are paying attention is what I would suggest back to you. Hopefully they're watching all of these and looking beyond the headlines to understand what the president really said. Because if they break it down to what I just delivered to you, they would know that this is just a media blitz and a scandal for the media, the Democrats, and the Republican operatives alike. Now, that goes back to what we talk about all the time, right? This is what you call an establishment. So let's sew this all up in a nice, neat little package for you. This is what you call the establishment. This is definition of what we talk about all the time. This is the establishment hidden back in plain daylight. Most people who know Trump, who follow Trump, who understand Trump, know that President Trump, and even more so than I recognize at times, does just about everything in a strategic way. He throws things out there sometimes. You have no rhyme or reason or rationale as to why he's doing it at that moment of time. But he has done this from moment one. People, just think a minute, all the way back to the very beginning. Some of the craziest things he said, and you think, by golly, did he really say that? Yeah, he really said that. And when you think about it all in those terms, you see what I'm saying, that there's typically a point to what Trump is doing or saying, and potentially there is here too. I think the biggest one probably is to put everyone on notice that he's not going to tolerate a stolen election, probably. It's more than sad. It's frustrating as hell to Americans that, you know, it's bad enough we're fighting on policies and we're supposed to fight on these policies. So I get it, but in a serious way. I mean, we're at each other's throats, but, and, you know, and we're fighting about, of course, the Supreme Court, and we're supposed to, but pretty serious stuff again, you know, and we're fighting about the election and all of that, but we're fighting about things that, you know, our republic, our constitution, things like, and like an election. I mean, things that should be very basic to our republic. I mean, things that we should not have to, I mean, we have enough people trying to take us down from the outside, surely, clearly, and that are trying to interfere and confuse America. And a lot of them are doing that. And so they're going to start to pile on more. And we'll talk about that in a moment, but a lot of them will be piling on the international players, the cyber problems. There are other issues that could also impede this. Now, that's another point that Trump didn't exactly say in that brief statement to the reporter, but he is clearly aware of. The president, again, is the chief commander there. He gets all the information. He has all the reports. He has access to everything. He has access to everything historically. He can see things from confidential moments of our history way back when. I mean, you think about the position he's holding. Some people forget that he is the president. He's not just the businessman. He's not just the politician, not just a senator or congressman or somebody else. He's the president. The president gets access to everything. That really is America's royalty for that 4 or 8 years. It's the president. That's the person we give the power to. And it's that peaceful transfer of power that makes us so unique. That's what makes our representative republic, our government, so incredibly unique in the world. There is nobody else who can do it like we do it here. So why should we be questioning that fundamental foundation that makes America what it is what I question you with today. It's what I put out there, right? And it's because this is how you drum up all of this excitement in the media, and this is how you pile on, and this is what you call the establishment again going after Donald Trump. Let's say it that way, not the president, because they're really not after the president. They're after Donald Trump. There's a difference there. You understand what I mean, right? And this is the way this entire establishment is just piling on to go after Trump. It's all it's about. That's all it's about. And he makes everybody uncomfortable. So the way he handles things, the way he says things. So we have a job to do here, and that is to get it right. But it's also to inform the other 330 some odd million Americans, that percentage, that population, that piece of the populace who really looks at all this with one eye open, one eye closed sort of thing. They're really sort of looking at it from a bit of a distance. To some people, no fault of their own. So, I mean, people do have a life to live. A lot of people are in crisis mode right now. You have a lot of challenges financially with, you know, this pandemic lockdown business has thrown a lot of businesses out of business. It's changed the landscape in our nation, probably for decades that we won't see for a long time to come, I would suggest to you, you see. And so what we've got to be concerned with now is all these other pieces, all the other factors here that are going to play into this election here. But now you know. You hear the Hillary, you hear what, and you see the difference of the two, and you understand what's happening here. It is the establishment piling on. Does anybody really believe in their right mind that if President Trump did not legitimately lose that election, legitimately, that it's a legitimate election, that he would not step aside. Absolutely, he would. I mean, he understands the value and the prestige of the United States of America. He understands what our Constitution is. He understands our representative government. He understands what makes America. He has to know that, and he does know that. So there's not a question or a thought in my mind, as any president would do that. He would not be the first in history. I think the only thing that would cut that off at the pass is that we end up in the courts, which is why we really need to talk about, again, the Supreme Court, why that ninth justice is probably going to be very key. You have all of that playing into this as well, as well as other types of interference. So a lot more to discuss there. Take a quick pause. Be back with more Voice of a Nation just after the pause.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
Did you know the average person spends 26 years of their life sleeping? The real troubling statistic is that we spend 7 years of our life trying to get to sleep, struggling with racing minds, tossing and turning. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Sleep is proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance. Until now, most sleep supplements haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel, invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthy, healthycell.com/sleep.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. This is not a fight of Republican versus Democrat. It's not a fight of rich versus poor, old versus young, man versus woman, gay versus straight. It's not a fight of black lives, blue lives, Hispanic lives, or white lives. This is a battle of good versus evil. It's a fight for the soul of humanity. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
And to prove what I was saying earlier, by the way, was Joe Biden's response to that whole fiasco we just talked about, right? His campaign, when we say he, we know he doesn't really talk, but his campaign or whatever, or the reports they leak or the tweets they put out, I mean, you don't think for a minute that Biden is there, creating those tweets or the reports or understands any of that. I mean, you don't really think that, do you? Exactly. It's not happening. On the other side, you can absolutely see Trump responsible for his tweets because you can see his language and his English in the tweets. And you can see how he puts it out there in plain English to people, whether you like it or not. And there's something about plain English. I mean, there was a way I grew up just really appreciating when you put it out there in plain English. You like it, you like it. You don't, you don't. Again, I always reference that as the out loud truth. The out loud truth wasn't supposed to be PC. It's not supposed to make you feel good. It's just supposed to be the truth, the facts. That's the whole basis of what I do here. I mean, it's not to make anybody feel good. It's just to get into the facts. What are the facts? Now, had Trump said at that point, well, I am absolutely not transferring the power. I don't give a rat's ass who takes the election. Well, then, my fellow Americans, I'd be on here today giving you a whole nother story because my loyalty is to America. It's to our republic. It's not to any one man. You see, it's to God and it's to this republic. That's where my loyalty sits. Does that make sense? So had he said that, I'd have been the first one all on him. Rest assured, I'd have been here reporting to you today that the president has lost my trust, and this is the reason why. And that would be a game changer. That would be a moment that would change the entire deck. That's it right there in a nutshell. We have a tradition in this nation, which we've talked about. And that tradition is not compromisable. We're not willing to compromise that. It just is the way we are. It's the way we think. It's who we are. And we can never. That's the beauty of America. It's the majesty of America. Our peaceful transfer of power. And the fact that our country can go from one to the other, like when it went from Obama to Trump. Right? I mean, that was incredible. Or, you know, and there's always some little things, you know, like when W came in, they removed the W's off the computers. It was, I guess, a bit of their joke. So they couldn't put the W in the name of Bush. And that's sweet. I mean, those things do happen. You know, those are, you know, whatever you want to call them, gags or gigs or whatever. But that's one thing. It's another thing to take this to another level, like they're trying to suggest right now. Oh, he's a dictator. Oh, he's not going to let go. This guy's a madman. Marge, buckle the door. We got to change our vote. President's a dictator. I mean, I guess that's what they're hoping for, more or less, huh? So Biden, he come out. Let me get back to that. He says here, or his people. Let me clarify that again. His people said, when asked about this briefing that the president had at the press conference there, you know, what country are we in? And then he adds after that, I'm being facetious. Okay, cool. And he says, look, here's the crux of this right now. Look, he says the most irrational things. I don't know what to say. This is what was released from Biden now, from a press pool report now is where this came from. I found that interesting for a couple of reasons here. He's right. Joe is right, or his people are right. Let me just keep clarifying this. The Biden people, let's call them. The Biden people, the campaign, obviously, but I like the Biden people. The Biden people, you know, when they say here, he says the most irrational things. I would agree with him. I would agree with the Biden people when they say that. In their world, in the establishment world, now it's the same reason why Romney, why all these people just piled on that we just talked about, short of, I thought, McCarthy's response, which was decent, but all of these others, you know, Romney, Liz Cheney, McConnell, Marco Rubio, all the ones we talked about a few moments ago, and many, many, many more, of course, you know. Even to those people, it's irrational. Because you can take irrational things over here in one hand. Let's just leave that over here, okay? And that's the same as presidential. He's not being presidential. Well, the guy says some irrational things. He's just not being presidential. Presidential in their world is getting up there and moving their mouth, but not really allowing their thoughts or their brains to attach to their real feelings. And, you know, that's what flows out of their mouth. And that's what they're like. So to them, an irrational, a rational president, rather, a rational president who is presidential would have said, probably answered that reporter back like this. We will accept the transfer of peaceful of power no matter what happens. And it's an American tradition. I mean, any of these people would say this, like, it's an American tradition. We've been, you know, you could just play this. You could take something out of your pocket, a recorder, and you could play this. You could hear any of them saying this. You could hear McConnell saying it, Romney saying with it. Any of the people would say this. Well, according to our republic, it's, you know, it's supposed to be this way. And it's, you know, it's a peaceful transfer of power. And of course, that's what, and that's it, done. And that would have been the rational thing to do. Would have been the presidential thing to do, to answer the reporter back and just say, yeah, we're going to do the peaceful transfer of power and leave it at that. Don't say anything more. Yeah, whatever happens, happens. We're cool with that, man. Of course, the president doesn't really subscribe to that theory because he doesn't believe that anything that happens, it happens. Some things that might happen might be really bad. And he's not willing to play to that point that these bad things are acceptable, right? And he doesn't have the trust and confidence. A lot of people are shocked in the system. But the system is sort of crumbling anyways, I guess, to a degree, right? We all probably see that happening right now. We've been seeing the system crumble over the last 4 years. The point there is, Everything is being exposed. It's the curtain that's being pulled back. This is the great Oz right here. Just pull the freaking curtain back and let's just see it all, man. That's another thing that makes him irrational. President's irrational. Close that curtain, Mr. President. Knock it off. That really is what's happening here. He doesn't. They don't want him exposing the establishment. They don't want him exposing this irrational business. They just want him going along with what he's supposed to go along with. So that's what you got here. So Biden's people delivered that back, which I agree with. Look, he says the most, and that's exactly what. And at first, maybe we were all a little shocked early on. I know I was like, oh, my God, why is the president doing that? Well, there are times where you think he's taking the hard way, the long road around, the long way. He's taking an hour and a half to get somewhere. He could do it in 45 minutes. But as we have discovered over time, that is simply not the case. If the president is taken an hour and a half, then typically there's a reason why he's doing that. If he's taking the longer road or putting something out there that some people may think is irrational or that it's not presidential, would you possibly think there's a point to that? That maybe there's some follow-up coming later on or there's another reason? Now we know why he's doing that. Now, at least I do. He is doing what they're all, he's priming the pump here for what might happen November 3rd, because I think a lot of people sense at this point, and a lot of reports are, that this may very well end up in the courts, and this one may go to the Supreme Court, which is another thing, the Ninth Justice, which is key important. How close of election this is or not, or how much monkey business has been going on here, how much funny business, you know, has been in play here, right? And if there's a lot of funny business, then you know, you're going to have an election that is questionable. And that's the thing I hope we don't have to deal with as a nation. Having that fact that we've all gone through Bush Gore back there in 2000, the last thing we need is, as they're predicting, some people are predicting, that this could be that times 100 because of all the states involved and all the confusion. And that is not something I wish for our country. That is not something I wish at all for freedom whatsoever. So I pray that that is not the outcome, people. I really just hope we don't have to do that. I mean, that would be an incredibly ugly finish to a year that we would all like to soon leave in the history books and never have one come close to repeating it again. Because 2020 has been a year of lessons, sure. It's been a year of discovery, for sure, of who we are as a people and as a country, sure. But it's been a year of frustration and sadness in so many ways. And you hate to say it that way, but it is a fact. I mean, there's just nobody out there celebrating 2020. I mean, even coming into, you see the reports the other day, you know, New York, not going to have the New Year's Eve group there. We're not going to do the party out there. I mean, they're already predicting that here at this month, that that's canceled. So they're already predicting doom and gloom, but this is what they've been doing right along. They've been shutting things down 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, because they're trying to extend this thing out. And it just continues to build what I believe is the fear factor. And it's discouraging. It discourages so many. And all of this is having an impact on our people. More than that, it's having an impact on their psyche. I think the psyche of the American people is in great question right now. It's very troublesome, actually, what we're seeing. And I see so many people out there that have bad information. They're not up on it all. It's just crazy. I mean, they're just getting this information, this horrible, and people are scared. I see a guy just last night, late in the day, beautiful day, walking outside and by himself, nobody around in sight. And he's got a full mask on his face. I know we've talked about these things before, people have, but how sick is that? That at this point of the venture, as much as we know, and maybe we didn't know stuff, you know, that we know now, you know, 5, 6 months ago, right? But with everything we know, so when you think about what kind of damage has the media done, think about it in those terms a moment here. I see this guy just last night. I see him when I'm driving my car past him, and I see the guy out there with, I mean, a big, big blessed mask on his face. and covering the whole thing, some piece of big thing. I look at the guy and I just, as I'm driving by, I'm saying, and he's moving, he's jogging down the road. And I say, this is insanity. Guy could end up having a heart attack, a cardiac arrest. Talk about not being able to, breathe properly. I mean, these people are so panicked, they think COVID is going to fall down from the skies. It's going to fall down from another planet in a universe somewhere. And it's going to cripple you. It's your point of, it's like, and you're just going to knock out on the ground somewhere. I mean, people really believe this thing is like, it's going to get them. And there are people who now have taken this inside of themselves. And they're some of the same people you see out there and who, are walking around when you don't have a mask on or, because you don't subscribe to that theory. And I would be one of them under any condition. I do not wear one. I do not eat green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam. I am. I do not like the mask. I will not wear the mask. That's correct. And I don't go into the business. You don't get my business. That's simple. I don't care what your mandate is. My constitution is my rights. I don't care what the governor said or the mayor or the Marxist lunatic up the road. But again, a lot of people are subscribing to this and they really believe they're going to get, I mean, why else would you be in yourself singularly, just you out jogging, walking, running out in the beautiful, in the beautiful outside and, have a mask on? I mean, what is it you're expecting to happen? What is it exactly? Are you on the way to an alcoholic party where you're going to, rub elbows with people and you're worried about it, Just like I was somewhere the other day. I know I'm digressing here. So the other day I was somewhere in the, it was an eating establishment kind of a thing. Was that movie I seen? I was telling you about the other day, Greenland. It was a pre-screening for that. And so they had some popcorn and, stuff, water, is I don't do soda, but I'll do a glass of wine with the popcorn. It's even better. But I remember bringing that in there. So you have to wear your mask, sir, through the whole movie. I said, I beg your pardon? I am not wearing a mask through this movie, and I'm not even wearing it inside here. Well, sir, you have to, I don't have anything on, and I'm walking into the place. Well, sir, you have to wear the mask. I said, how am I going to eat popcorn or drink water? Well, you can take that off quickly, but then put it back on. I said, you people are insane. This is not happening. Anyways, long story short, some guy comes to the rescue, the guy who was running the pre-screening. Leave these people alone, please. And of course, the ticket ladies are out there, Oh, what a moment. What a moment. You don't want to meet Mr. Out Loud when you're pushing that sort of a violation on me, because it's not going to work out well for you. I am not going to fall in line. But that's kind of the stuff we're seeing out there now, is my point. And we're seeing that everywhere. These people, see, the point I'm trying to make with you here, there's a percentage of the populace. They digest all of this information in all of these headlines. When I tell you about all the headlines, they digest the mask, the fear, the COVID, everything. They digest all this in their system, and they absolutely believe it. The word we use is brainwashed. They're brainwashed. And this has been going on. And this to me is the biggest catastrophe of this whole thing is, it, more than COVID, is the media and their response to what they've done here. I will never, as long as I live, understand the damage that they have done to our nation at this most unprecedented time. It is unexcusable. It is beyond any reason that we could come up with some benefit that they were delivering to the people. These people, I mean, I can only assume they're Marxists. They've got this mentality to want to corrupt the system. And they have this, it's hard to understand it. It truly, truly is that all these people got into that media business. I still will never understand that. Why these organizations and groups are such a magnet to the far left socialists, in the media world, in the social media world, and in all of these worlds that you and I talk about regularly. I mean, why they are such a magnet to those people is sometimes very hard to understand. But it is exactly that. And And I always wonder where the other people are, the other side of this debate. In other words, it gets to the lunacy stage. We're there, people. We are definitely in the lunacy stage. Now, after, we talked about Biden. I want to tell you about the House Speaker as well. And I want to get to some of this foreign stuff as well. So the House Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, she says, I don't think he's worth the trouble at this point. She said, noting the election is just 40 days away. So evidently, she's thinking that somehow they're going to, and this is another thing, if you hear Hillary Clinton's comments about not conceding, then you hear the Speaker of the House come up with things like this in a very assertive, you kind of begin to start to wonder, don't you? Oh, you start to step back a little bit. Now you see where I'm at, or why this gets a little more uncomfortable, and why I say to you what I say to you about Trump, and when he said those comments. When you start, and he knows what they're all saying, and he's very aware of all this, but it leaves a lot of doubt that they say these kinds of things, and they obviously believe them. I would guess, or I'm not sure why, or they're looking for a complete revolution. They're looking for a moment of conflict that will alter. It will alter a lot. Wow. How to believe that that's a 2020 point of view, actually, you know? Yeah. Senator Chris Coons, a Democrat out of Delaware. Of course, a big Biden guy. He's a big left socialist guy, no matter who's running, or a gal. Doesn't matter to him, just as long as it's, you know, somebody in the far left lunacy bin. Coons all over it, naturally. Horrible politician, horrible leader, really. Well, probably a good politician because they're crooked as hell, you know that. He says, and I quote, when a head of state anywhere in the world with authoritarian tendencies tells you they intend to do something outrageous and not accept a peaceful transition after an election, believe them. So again, when a head of state anywhere in the world with authoritarian tendencies tells you they intend to do something outrageous and not accept a peaceful transition after an election, believe them. Adam Schiff, this is how democracy dies. He's still living in a democracy world, this cat. A president so desperate to cling to power that he won't commit to it. Here's somebody talking about, give me a break, will you? Clinging to power. This is exactly why he's been who he's been, trying to cling to power. A president so desperate to cling to power that he won't commit to a peaceful transition of power, that he seeks to throw out millions of votes, and a Republican Party too craven to say a word. Now, shut up. I just read you all the Republicans coming out and piling on the president. The hell's he talking about? They say plenty. Your people don't say nothing. You say nothing. Did you get after Hillary Clinton for saying not to concede? I didn't remember seeing Schiff's public comment on that. Did you? And he ends it with this, but not to worry, we will fight back. America belongs to the people. You know, that's the only truthful thing he says in there. America does belong to the people. And that's where we, the people, are going to have to do what I say all the time. Going to have to rise. Going to have to fight this thing. Now, the other big thing here, just keep in mind a couple other big points here. You've got that, again, the Ginsburg seat, filling that vacancy, the ninth justice. Critical. The president has pointed that out. The others are. It's going to be a real interesting point here. Now, they are losing their marbles at the moment, rest assured. And I don't know what will happen from there as far as if this all comes together or, whether we get there and this thing is. I mean, it's hard to say what's going to happen here if the successful in filling the ninth seat. But clearly the president has pointed out, as many others have, that ninth seat could be very, very critical. If this thing goes as many are predicting in there, then we're going to have some troubles. And this would be the factor here. Having that ninth justice is going to be important. And I'll tell you one other little secret. Having the ninth justice, who is a constitutionalist, to say the least, my fellow Americans, is vitally important. Because at that point, if you want some truth, that's how we're going to have truth. And that's how we're going to have to come to a conclusion if it is contested on who won and what really happened, you see. Now, there's also the problem of these foreign governments now that are playing in, to keep more unrest happening. And remember, you've got all these uprisings that are still happening with the Breonna Taylor thing, and which has nothing to do with anything they're tearing things apart about. And that's another story for another day. But you know, I can't even understand the media there, how they put that into the same bucket as Floyd or the bucket of the police or the bucket of anything. I mean, it doesn't connect. That narrative is a different narrative. It's a complete tragedy on every level. But, you know, you can't throw police officers in jail for doing their job and following instructions. You just can't do that. And I know that's what they want to do, but it's not able to fly. That's all I got to say about that right now. Got a lot more on that over the weekend here. But this other concern, and NPR comes out with this, is the U.S. intelligence officials are warning that these foreign powers are watching the political environment within the United States and how these various possible schemes to raise doubts about the results of the election. So you see what I said to you early on about other influences, right? And let me read this to you from the FBI and the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, okay? And it's this: foreign actors and cyber criminals could create new websites, change existing websites, and create or share correspondence, social media content to spread false information in an attempt to discredit the electoral process and undermine confidence in the U.S. democratic institutions. And so there's the warning right there. So you got that other component here, which is, again, it's another piece of uncertainty in an already hostile, volatile operation here, you know. Even something as fundamental to our representative government and our republic, even something as remarkably important as that, as an election, is now the center of controversy and as problematic here. And that's a sad day in our country. But that's sort of the frosting on the cake on this last 4 years, if you think about it this way. But then again, my fellow Americans, he talked about the draining the swamp. We talk about an establishment. And what do we have here? We have an establishment that is very uncomfortable. They're very unhappy. They do not like this transitional change where the power is coming back to the people. And so I would suggest to you that it's a remarkable moment, but it's also a very interesting moment and could bring some further opportunities, God willing, everything plays out the way it's supposed to. And we not only secure our future, but we make remarkable progress in all that is. And what a chapter this will be when we write the final page on this chapter. And what an administration. Imagine when Trump finishes his eighth year and the re-election of the second term. And imagine all that will hopefully be successful, that I believe it will be, once we can get some of these bad cast of characters out of their misery and get them out of our way. I would think we would have the most incredible, 8 years, that we've ever seen in our republic. A transformation at the highest order, and yet progress for the long road ahead, or the beautiful road ahead, really, for America here. Well, so peaceful transfer of power. Now we know, right? And now we know what President Trump said and did, and what the others are doing as they, pile on the president here. That's really the point of all of this here. So anyways, thank you again, my fellow Americans, for being on the mission with me. It's time to get involved and get loud.